Yes, I've covered seven presidents now and have not endeared myself to any of them. That's the job. We are adversarial.
Welcome back to the Global Politico, our weekly podcast covering the world in the Trump era. I'm Susan Glasser, and that was Andrea Mitchell, the veteran White House and foreign affairs correspondent for NBC News and host of the Andrea Mitchell Report on MSNBC. President Trump called her Hillary Clinton's PR person when Mitchell got a scoop he didn't like this week. Bill O'Reilly called her unruly when she shouted questions at Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. Well, Andrea Mitchell has some words for them too in this week's Global Politico, talking about what it's like to cover every president from Ronald Reagan on, why the Secretary of State shouldn't fly to Moscow without his press corps, and what's wrong with a White House that is using its briefing room to mislead, misdirect, and obfuscate. Thanks again for joining us.
Let's go ahead and start right with the controversy of the day. You got an exclusive interview with Susan Rice, President Obama's national security advisor, denying in her interview with you that she did anything wrong in potentially asking to unmask the identities of Trump or his officials when it came up with the Russia hacking. You earned a personal attack back from President Trump himself in an interview with my friends and former colleagues, Maggie Haberman and Glenn Thresh at the New York Times. Donald Trump said it was a horrible interview and you were Hillary Clinton's PR person. Anybody who knows you had to laugh. You're usually called the aggressive reporter asking the pesky question. What did you make of this week's back and forth?
I was a little stunned by that because that isn't my reputation with the Hillary Clinton team, with the Obama White House, with the Bill Clinton White House, with the Ronald Reagan or George Bush White Houses. So I've covered seven presidents now and have not endeared myself to any of them. That's the job. We are adversarial. I thought I asked the tough questions. You know, I don't shout at people, but I was asking her, did you leak? Did you break any rules? Did you reveal Mike Flynn's name? You know, when you were unmasking these officials, and she kept saying that this was her job, that she did nothing that no other national security advisor wouldn't have done, which is when you get the raw data, if there's something that is flagged by the intelligence community or something that really sparks your interest and you are the national security advisor, you would be remiss if you did not follow up by asking the head of the NSA, the head of the CIA, or in some instances, the head of the FBI, can you reveal the identity of the American who's been caught up incidentally in a conversation that has been surveilled involving foreigners, two foreigners generally? And she said that all of this was part of her responsibility. I kept pressing as to whether there had been an accelerated pace of these requests toward the end of the administration, whether they were really zeroing in on the Trump administration. And I had other sources telling me that part of this was because of the president's order on December 9th for a full national security review of the Russian hacking and of any possible Trump associates who might have colluded. Following up on what the intelligence communities had said, all 17 of them had concluded on October 7th was indeed the fact that there was a Russian attempt to interfere with the election and that it had started at the very top with Vladimir Putin. And this review that was ordered by the president, it was suggested that that meant that the intelligence community went back. They reviewed all of the data. They looked at all their prior surveillance to see if there was anything suspicious and started flooding the zone, if you will, sending it up to the White House because they were preparing this review. And so a lot of stuff was coming in and there was a lot more to review. And that is one reason why there was an intensified number of people who may have been unmasked toward the end of the administration.
You know, that's fascinating. I haven't heard anybody report that. And that's a classic example, I think, of sort of staying on the story. But why do you think Donald Trump is so personally obsessed in elevating not only the Susan Rice story? You can imagine he wants to distract from the underlying Russia investigation of him and his campaign itself. But he just seems to be obsessed at always making it about the media. And how ironic, right, that he said this in an interview with the news organization that he labels the failing New York Times. Does it make it much harder to cover the Trump administration that he's determined to turn you and us into the story?
That does not concern me as much as the behavior of the president and his aides and the press secretary to ignore facts. It starts at the top. And the most obvious example is the March 4th tweet saying that, you know, President Obama wiretapped him at Trump Tower. There's no way of getting around that. It's just not factually correct. Director Comey said it wasn't. Senator McConnell said it wasn't. Speaker Ryan said it wasn't true. Yet the president and his advisors and the press secretary seem to be twisting themselves in knots to try to explain and justify that. That seemed to me to be the first, most obvious attempt to divert attention from the Russian investigation. And they are in such denial of the Russian investigation, which was the conclusion of all the intelligence communities. I think the well was probably poisoned by Mike Flynn very early on toward the intelligence community because he had been fired by General Clapper. He'd been put in that job as the head of defense intelligence under the previous administration because of his very good work, by all accounts, in Afghanistan and under General McChrystal, and then really messed up at the Defense Intelligence Agency and was fired by General Clapper. So when he showed up as this national security advisor during the campaign, there was already a wariness, I think, on the part of the intelligence community. But you've had this unprecedented attack from candidate Trump and President-elect Trump and then President Trump on the intelligence community.
Do you feel comfortable saying not just that what he says isn't true, if it's proven not to be true, but that it's a lie? There's a big debate about that.
Well, there is a big debate about that. And I've avoided using the word lie because I don't know his motivation. I don't know if he's confused. I don't know what he's being told. So is it purposeful? I can't tell his motivation. I can just say it's not accurate. And what Sean Spicer then said was not accurate, and other advisors. And so you also have a willingness by top officials to just flat out mislead you when you ask them for confirmation or verification of events. I've never experienced that.
So that's let's talk about this context for this, right? I think that's what's really missing from a lot of it. How unusual is it, their reluctance to deal with the press? And we'll get into your fascinating and contentious dealings with the State Department in a minute under New
Secretary. Close and personal relationship with the Secretary of State.
Yes, you and Rex Tillerson on a first-name basis. But let's go back first, right, to this bigger brush question. Reagan's Washington, Bush's Washington. You've covered the Clintons from the very beginning. You covered